Hey, this is Leo for actualize.org, and today I want to tell you the story of how I lost 65 pounds in 5 months and have been able to keep it off for 8 years. So this sounds like something pretty big, right? And it was for me, because actually where I came from, where I started from, was that I was a overweight kid my whole life. Kind of hard to see it on me now, but that's because I've lost 65 pounds. I used to weigh 230 something pounds, so about 234 pounds, if I recall correctly. And then from there, I dropped to about 175. So how did I do that? It was a pretty interesting feat, and I want to trace the story of that. And I think there'll be some interesting implications for inner game and also how to just get big accomplishments in your life, the kind of stuff that you've always wanted to do but have had difficulty getting done. So for me, ever since about third grade, I was overweight. And right after third grade, I was pretty heavily overweight as a kid. So I went to elementary school, middle school, high school, and the beginning couple of years of college, I was weight throughout that whole time. And it was really a challenge for me because it created a lot of limiting beliefs within myself about who I was, what I was able to do, and how I looked. Because this is not something, I never had that sense that I was that skinny kid and then I just got overweight and then that I had a chance of turning things around. What I always thought was that, hey, I grew up fat and I was fat most of my life. That's how I remember myself, and so I thought that was natural, at least for me. So some of the limiting kind of beliefs that I had was that, you know, it's all genetic, at least in my case, and I don't really have any control over it. Because you know what? I tried going on diets. I had some brief stints where I tried going to the gym, and none of that stuff was working for me. None of it sticked. It would always be like, okay, I'm gonna get on a diet, and then I get on it for a week, and then a week later, if not even sooner, it all falls apart, and nothing happens, no changes, and I'm fatter than ever. So the real challenge there was to start to understand that I could even do it, and to get the motivation in place to do it. And one of the big challenges for me as a result of being overweight for so long was that it really created a lot of confidence issues for me. Because I've always cared about my own looks, but literally what was happening was that my mind was almost deceiving me as to how I looked. So I would like look in the mirror and I would think that I looked better than I actually was. It's like my mind was literally projecting a false appearance and reality of myself. It's pretty crazy how that worked. And I needed to do that in order to have some sort of positive self-image. But even then, I was miserable the whole time because, of course, I knew I was fat. I didn't like how I looked, didn't like the clothes that I wear, and all that stuff. You know, didn't feel comfortable expressing myself around people because I didn't feel like I looked good. And so that really crippled a lot of development of my confidence. Really didn't feel comfortable around girls, around women throughout high school or college because of that. And that led to some lasting issues. So it was a real challenge for me. And the way that it all started to turn around was actually very interesting. This was actually a really powerful, a powerful experience for me. So what happened was that I think it was like a sophomore chemistry class. I was in college, and at that point I was overweight, and I just started to chat up with a girl that was sitting next to me and one of her friends, and we just kind of started talking. And at that point, I felt like, and she wasn't like a hot girl or anything, but I felt like she was someone that I could potentially date, have a relationship with, and so from that little brief interaction, there was nothing even flirty going on there. I thought that this was something that that would be cool if I like could ask her out and we could make something happen. And so from that, what happened was that night, I went to bed, and I remember this very vividly, is that I started kind of imagining being with her as I was going to bed, and I was still, it wasn't a dream, I was still very conscious about it, but still, like, the emotions started bubbling up about that situation, and I started kind of fantasizing about it, and then I remember telling myself, Well, but this is just a fantasy. Like, this is all, it's all great, but it's in my mind. Like, it's not very real. It's not going to happen. And I felt like I would never ask her out because I didn't have the confidence for it. And also because I didn't feel I deserved it because of the way I looked. I didn't feel like it was fair to be in a relationship with someone where I was, or I was overweight and they were normal weight. I felt like that just wasn't the way that I wanted it to be. So I didn't even, it wasn't even an issue of asking her out or not. The case was that I would not ask her out unless I felt good about myself. So what happened then is that I was fantasizing this and I was telling myself that it's just all a fantasy. And then something triggered in me, something snapped, and I thought this what if question, and I just thought about it, and I suddenly saw, but what if this was not fantasy? What if I actually made it happen? Like, what if I just put all my effort forward, spent 6 months, got in shape, and then I was as fit as I wanted to be, and I was happy with how I looked, and then I asked her out. Wouldn't that be freaking awesome? And so something brought that kind of spark of imagination within me, and then that night when I went to sleep, I kind of dreamed about that whole scenario and how it would play out. And what ended up happening was that accidentally, I wasn't into self-development at that time. I knew nothing about it. I didn't know anything about visualizations. But what happened was that just unconsciously and kind of just by happenstance, I happened to have done a lot of visualizing, what I would call now visualization. Now I do this type of stuff very deliberately and consciously as an exercise because it really does work. But then it just happened spontaneously. And it became especially powerful because as I slept, it kind of just like soaked into my subconscious. It gone through the conscious filters, went into the subconscious, and I woke up with an amazing sense of motivation and drive. Because when I woke up the next morning, I was totally dead set. I was 110% confidence. I had 110% confidence that I would be fit because I saw myself as fit. I totally imagined it. I totally believed that I could do it. And I totally bought into this idea that if I get fit, that I'm gonna be able to ask this girl out and have a good relationship with her, and then it's all gonna work out great. But I was only gonna do it after I got fit. So that was the beginning of my motivation. It was actually a very profound experience because I've never had one like that quite since. There's never been a case where I just wasn't very motivated to do something, and then all of a sudden, just this surge of motivation came on. So this is an example that I like going back to and studying for myself because if I can dissect and understand what it is within me that made that happen, and I could replicate that, just the ramifications for my own personal development would be enormous, the amount of success I can get. Because with that kind of drive, when you have 110% commitment to that thing, and like you literally don't care what it takes. You don't care what the pain is that it's going to take to succeed. You care about nothing. You just care about the result, and you know that you're going to have it. In fact, you have so much confidence that it's not that you are chasing the result. You're so confident about it, it's as though you already have it. You feel like you have it even though you don't. It's kind of like, well, I could get hit by a bus tomorrow, but I was so dead set on my course that I know without a shadow of a doubt that those 6 months would have passed and I would have been fit. That's how I felt. And so immediately when I woke up that morning, I made some resolutions as to, what kind of actions I need to start taking. Because it's one thing to have that drive, that's the beginning of it, that's the foundation, but then you need to actually start putting it into action. So I made a couple of resolutions. First thing I did was I said that I would be going to the gym 5 days a week, no matter what, for the rest of my life. And this is critical, is that I didn't just say that I would be doing this for 6 months, or for a week, or for any amount of period of time like that. I literally said for the rest of my life. I think that was very critical because all the other times that I kind of started doing diets and losing weight, I found that one of my biggest challenges with that, I really had this limiting belief that going to the gym was painful, going to the gym was challenging, and that ultimately was impractical for me. Because what I thought was that, oh, going to the gym, sure, I could maintain it for a week or two. I can maybe maintain it for a month, but eventually, I just don't have enough time to cut out from my day and put it into gym. I don't have an hour. I don't have 20 minutes to go to the gym. I have to pay money to go to the gym. I have to drive to the gym. So all this hassle, and I just thought that that was totally impractical. And therefore, I never really considered it as a viable means of getting control of my weight. So I focused a lot on diet. Here, what I said though is that I'm so committed because I am 110% committed. I'm going to do everything, and I'm going to use all the tools in my power. So I said I would tackle this problem from diet and gym. And I really had this epiphany because I was so driven. I had this epiphany. I had to come to the realization that the cost of me being fit was being at the gym for the rest of my life. And I didn't even, it wasn't so important to me whether that was true or not, whether I could cut corners. I didn't want to cut corners. I said that I would just make a resolution. If I want to be fit, the cost and the payment that I have to pay to the gods, as it were, is being at the gym 5 times a week. So I made that resolution. The other thing I said I would do is I would start cutting out stuff, really junk food. So at that point, I was drinking a few sodas a day on average, Cokes, those were my favorites. So I said that I would cut out all soda. And to be smart about it, I said that I wouldn't just go cold turkey from soda to water. That's a little tough. So what I did is I went to iced tea, and I transitioned to iced tea with sugar substitutes. So Equal, Splenda, NutraSweet, any of those. Splenda was my favorite. So I said that I would be cutting out all sodas because those are a bunch of empty calories. And I also said that I would be cutting back on portion size. Really, my goal was to stop overeating to the point where I just felt very full. I had a full stomach. I wanted to eat to the point where I wasn't hungry anymore, but I wasn't filled either. So that was another one. And I really decided to cut out all sweets and desserts besides the soda. You know, I would eat like candy bar, I would eat ice cream, I would eat all sorts of little sweets. And I decided to cut that out. And the other thing I decided to do was really to throw out all the food from my pantries, all the food from my fridge. So literally I had no food in the house, so snacking would be impossible. So those are some of the things that I did. And the other thing I did is I realized that, you know, at that point my understanding of fitness advice and health advice and nutrition and workout procedures was very limited. I really hadn't studied it. There were just, you know, just basic things that I knew kind of from popular culture, from mainstream media, was that I had to work out, I had to exercise, I had to cut my diet, I had to cut out some of this junk food, and that, you know, the difference between gaining weight and losing weight was essentially calories. That's how I saw it. I wasn't too technical about it. I just said that if I was eating less calories than I was consuming, then that would be enough to start losing weight. And at that point, I didn't even make any restrictions as to the kind of food I could eat. I could eat anything as long as I wasn't just overeating and stuffing myself, which was something that I tended to do a lot. And I did, though, say that I would cut out sweets. So that's kind of how I started. And I also realized that because I had kind of limited diet and fitness, especially fitness advice and understanding at that time, what I did is I started Googling, and I found one specific article that I still remember. This was like 8 years ago. I found one specific article about food cravings that really helped me and kind of set the tone for how to approach weight loss. And it really, what was brilliant about it was the inner game that was there. It wasn't about some quick fix magic pill solution, but it really set my mental attitudes right. It set them on track. And actually what I did is I went back and I Googled, and I was able to find this article. This is an old article from a website called intense-workout.com. And I think this was a brilliant article on the inner game of tackling food cravings. And I think it even applies to more things than just food cravings. And so what I wanted to do here is I'm looking at this article that I have, and I wanted to read some excerpts from it. It's a pretty long article, and I'm going to read quite a few of the excerpts from it because I think it's brilliant, and it shows you the kind of approach you want to take towards getting success in any area of your life if you're really serious. If you're not looking for a stupid little band-aid solution that's going to work for a week and then fall off and not really lead to lasting results. What I'm talking about here is making a change that will last for years. I've been able to keep this weight off for 8 years, and at this point, even though I started very disciplined about it, at this point it's very easy for me to keep that weight off. So there were mental shifts that happened in my brain, in my mind, in my belief systems, in my attitudes about weight loss, about nutrition, and about fitness that are the result that got me those results. It wasn't just pure behavior change. So I want to read some of this stuff. So this article was called "Food Cravings: How to Stop Eating Too Much Junk" from intenseworkout.com. And here's how it starts. So it's kind of like a dialogue. So like the members of the site would ask this question, and then the author would answer it. So I'm going to read you the question. The question was, "It's so hard. I'm around this type of food all the time. The cravings just won't go away. I have a sweet tooth. I just have to give in to my cravings." So this was what the guy's asking. And here's the response that the author gives. The author is like a workout guy. Here's his response. It was a really good one. "Shut up. Who the hell are you to whine to me? Shut up already. Stop boring me with your story. Don't give me your little stories, like how you're around this type of food all the time. Do you think you're the only one, buddy? Everyone I know and everyone that's around me that's related to me eats junk food all day long. This crappy food is everywhere I look. I'm no different than you, except I don't give in. Do I have superhuman powers? No. Do I not give in because my muscles and arms are bigger than yours? No. Do I not give in because I can bench press more than you? No. Do I not give in because my body fat is lower than yours? No. Do I not give in because I'm physically better or physically stronger than you? No. I don't give in because I'm mentally stronger than you. That's all it really is it's mental. And for you to give in and for me not to give in, we can only assume that I am mentally stronger than you. How does that make you feel? I don't know a damn thing about you, but I know that mentally I can do something that you can't do. It sure makes me feel good though. In fact, it motivates me even more. So thanks for being so mentally weak. It will make me work that much harder during my next workout. So thanks a lot." And he goes on. "Next time your little food craving starts to come out, think about this. Look at that food and think, what do I want more? The 5 seconds of pleasure and enjoyment that I'm going to get from chewing this food, or the enjoyment of the fact that 24 hours every day, 7 days a week, I will have the body that I want to have. That's what it really comes down to. And let me tell you, no food tastes as good as that feeling feels. Your reward for sticking with your diet are all the results that you're going to get. So stop giving in to your cravings, and your cravings will go away. It's really as simple as that. Now, I probably know what you're thinking. You're thinking right now, who am I? Who am I to be telling you this? Like, I never cheat, or like, I never give in to cravings or have little cravings. No, I don't. Not at all. Not a little. Not in moderation. Not anything. The thought of eating some type of junk food doesn't even enter my mind. I don't need those 5 seconds. I'm stronger than that. Call it willpower, call it mental strength. My goal is my result. My road to getting that result doesn't have the 5 seconds of chewing pleasure on it. I eat for purpose, not for pleasure. Food is not a hobby. Food is something you need to survive. Your body needs it. And in this case, in the case of working out and getting results, food is something that your body needs to get you the results that you want. It's fuel. Food is nothing more than that. So I give my body only what it needs to make these results happen. Does my body need 5 seconds of chewing chocolate? No. Does my mind need it? No. My mind is way too strong to need it, and that feels much better than any piece of chocolate would ever taste. And I love knowing that. So it's exactly as hard as it is for you as it is for everybody else. You're not some special little flower. The amount of willpower it takes for you to achieve the result that you need is the exact same that it takes for anybody else. What's the difference? I have what it mentally takes, and you don't. So those are some long excerpts from the intenseworkout.com article. And what I really loved about that is that it set my inner game. It set the kind of attitude that I need to have, that kind of hardcore attitude. And something about the way that article was written, the way, the challenging way in it was written, where it wasn't coddling you, and it wasn't sympathizing with you, but it was really provoking you and telling you that you're a mental weakling, basically, when you don't have the willpower to do what you want to do. That somehow sparked something in me, combined with that kind of confidence that I had coming out of those visualizations in that dream, that really set a very strong foundation for how I wanted to approach it. In fact, what happened was that those first few days, I remember very vividly. There was a time late at night. Usually, I have developed a habit of snacking on stuff like ice cream or chips or candy bars or whatever, chocolate, and that was something that I had to cut out. So now, after I was on my diet and after I was going to the gym, I remember very vividly, it was late at night and there was a Klondike bar. I remember there was a pack of Klondike bars in the freezer. And I was watching TV and then I got really this craving for that Klondike bar because I was kind of hooked on them at the time. And I remember just instinctively almost walking over there to try to grab it. And then what happened was that I remembered what this article was talking about, and I used this technique, specifically the one where he really talks about, this little mental game that you play on yourself. You ask yourself this question, what do I want more? Do I want the 5 seconds of enjoyment that I'm going to get from chewing on that Klondike bar? Or do I want that higher level of enjoyment that you get, that pride that you get from really using your willpower to create the kind of life that you want and then the kind of body that you want? Now, at that point, I didn't have any kind of body. I was just getting started. So all I could really rely on was the fact that I was going to be proud that I was following through and that I was using my willpower. And so at that point, there was something very, very decisive that I very astutely, if I may say, realized about myself in that moment, which was that that was the defining moment for me. I just saw it that if in this moment I can't resist that Klondike bar, then everything that I've been talking about, that I've been dreaming about, all of that is bullshit. All of it is useless. If I could not resist one Klondike bar in that moment, that's it. Everything else was just empty air. That's where it really came down. That's where the rubber met the road. And so I really, really struggled with it, to the point where it was almost like battling an addiction. I've never really taking drugs or anything, but it almost felt like I was that heroin addict that just needed a hit. That's really what it felt like because I felt like I was very addicted to sweets. And I literally had to resist myself and just tell myself that this is the defining moment. And what ended up happening was that I kind of went back and forth and back and forth, and finally, I resisted it. And so from that point on, everything got much, much easier because that was the moment that defining moment that showed whether I was really committed or whether I was deceiving myself. And so from that point on, my journey continued. I started going to the gym. I hit the gym really hard. My schedule for the gym was that I was going 5 times a week. Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays, I would do weightlifting, and then all 5 days, Monday through Friday, I would do 20 minutes of treadmill. So some jogging, and then I would do 30 minutes of weightlifting on those days that I did weightlifting, and then I would do 15 minutes on the bicycle in the gym. And so it was about 1 hour and 15 minutes of total workout time on Monday, Tuesday, Friday, and then no, I mean on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then Tuesday and Thursday, those were like 30-minute workouts. So I stuck with that. I was going to the gym. At first, it was very difficult because my body was totally unused to it. What I did smartly is that I started off very, very low. So I started off very slow on the jogging, very slow on the treadmill, very slow on the kind of weights that I was lifting. So I put the lowest weights possible. Started very slow on myself, gave myself the opportunity to do that. Really told myself that it didn't matter what I looked like at the gym. At that point, I wasn't even going to a full-fledged gym. It was just a gym in my apartment. But even there, when I saw people, one of the challenges I think when you first start working out is that you are insecure about how you look when you work out, and the fact that you're not happy with how you look and you're there and you're sweating and you're not able to run on the treadmill. You're like running at a pace of three on the treadmill, and you're breaking a sweat, and you're lifting like 20 pounds on the bench press or something. But you know what? I said that it doesn't matter because the results will prove themselves in 6 months. The other smart thing that I did was that I made this a long-term commitment, and I said that this was not going to be a week thing. It's not going to be a month thing. Literally, I literally said that this would take 6 to 12 months, and then after that, constant maintenance by going to the gym and eating healthy. So for me, this was a total shift in how I live my life. This was not a little diet that I was undertaking, even though my diet changed quite a bit. So those were the details of how I started going to the gym. About what I started doing with my eating habits, I really started I decided for myself that calorie counting was not going to work. Part of the thing I think that's really stupid about calorie counting, and you know, maybe it works for you, but I think it's ultimately impractical, is that there's too much work in counting all the little calories. That's not something that I saw in myself that I would be able to maintain consistently. And what I was concerned about there is that I wasn't going to do anything that wasn't consistent. I wanted to maintain a consistent schedule at the gym. I wanted to maintain a consistent eating, something that I could eat consistently. So nothing that would only work for a week or two. So what I did was I decided that I'm not going to be counting calories. What's going to be important is that I just want to use my own feelings of hunger and fullness in my body and use that as a gauge to lose weight instead of pulling out calculators and all this other stuff. Part of the reason is that I didn't really even know. At that point, I was eating out a lot. I wouldn't cook at home. I would go out and eat, and I didn't know how many calories were in all the stuff that was being served to me. And finding all that out and counting it up felt like a real chore. So what I thought would work well better for me is just using that feeling of hunger. And so that's exactly what I did, is I started to really look at fullness and hunger within myself. And when I was eating, first thing I did was I said that the first thing I'm going to do is start leaving a little bit of food on the plate each time. And so if I was eating a burger, I could eat the whole burger and then I would eat most of the fries, but I would leave like one fry. Just one fry. And I started very slow because I knew I wanted to ramp up into it. And you'd be surprised how hard it is just to leave one fry on the plate. Because on the one hand, it seems like, well, one fry, that's nothing. I mean, you could eat the whole burger and a whole handful of fries, and then to leave one, it's like insignificant calorie-wise. And what's the point? And so, but you'd be surprised when you start to do that, especially if you don't have a habit of that, and you have a habit of overeating or just eating everything on the plate, is that it starts to actually become hard, and your mind starts playing tricks on you. Like one of the tricks your mind plays is this idea of wasting food. Like, oh, I shouldn't leave any food on the plate. That's gonna be wasted. Like, well, why waste that fry? Why not just eat it? You know, oh, it's not very significant. Just there's like 5 calories, maybe 10 calories in that fry. Why don't I just eat it, just to finish it up for sake of completeness, right? And I would always finish my plate. That was just a habit that I had. And so here I started to break that habit. That was part of the challenge of it, part of the importance of doing that. And then also what I did was I started ramping it up. So at first it was one fry, then it was two fries, then it was half the fries. And then it was not even that half the fries, but it was also like a quarter of the burger was left uneaten. And this was challenging for me because I really had this limiting belief around wasting food. I thought that leaving food on the plate was bad. It was wasteful. That was like money and resources that were not being consumed. And that I would the other belief that I had was that, oh, if I don't finish this, then I'm gonna get hungry. I'm gonna get hungry really soon, and I'm not gonna be able to focus on my schoolwork. I'm not gonna be able to do this and that because I'm just gonna be hungry. And so that's another way that your mind is playing tricks on you when you're trying to do that. So, you know, I worked through that, and I really resisted it, and I kept leaving a little bit more on the plate. Eventually, what started happening was that usually the portions that you get served when you go out to restaurants or fast food or anything, they're usually way too big. They're more than you need. So part of the challenge was that when I was eating the whole plate, I was overeating, and then I was stuffing myself full. I was feeling bad about it and just getting a massive excess of calories. And so, well, when I started leaving stuff on the plate, I started to feel a little less full every time I left the dinner table. And it was good because what I really wanted was I wanted to reach this point where I would eat to become moderately full, but not stuffed. And just enough to the point where my hunger was, I was still a little bit hungry at the end of the meal, but I knew that when I, if I left the meal and I walked out and waited 10, 15 minutes, all that food would get to my stomach, and finally I would feel just kind of that perfect level of the point where I just satisfied my hunger, but I didn't overstuff myself. And so I really worked towards that, kind of just working with the feelings of my body and doing some of these behavior changes, like leaving food on the plate. And eventually, I got to the point where I was doing that. And I also got more comfortable with hunger, the feeling of hunger, because before I started this whole diet and fitness thing, what happened was that I was very hunger was like a very big no-no. Like in my mind, I would build it up as something like, that's a horrible thing to have, a horrible feeling to have. You can't have hunger. You can't cope with hunger. You're not supposed to be hungry. That kind of stuff. And all that nonsense was really preventing me. So it was limiting me because it meant that I was overstuffing myself all the time. So what I started doing was I started to purposefully keep myself hungry. And it was true that after after you leave a meal and you're not overly stuffed, then you'll get hungrier faster. And what I just learned to do was I learned to actually just accept that hunger and that I would have it. So literally, I started to kind of starve myself, and that was the second side of my approach. The first approach side of the approach was to do a lot of fitness work, so working at the gym. And the second part of the approach was to really get a calorie deficit to shed the pounds. And I started, there were some times where I was really like, I was skipping meals, or I was substituting meals for something very lightweight, like a yogurt or like a chocolate pudding type of thing, so that I got a bigger calorie deficit. And I was weighing myself every day so I could see the results. I said that the first 2 weeks I wouldn't really be judging myself by any results. And so I didn't, because I knew that it takes some time to start to trigger the weight loss. But then after those 2 weeks, I started to see very consistent drop in weight on the scale. Sometimes 1 pound every couple of days. Ultimately, I lost 65 pounds in 5 months. So if you do the math on that, then that comes out to about 2 pounds a week, two, maybe 3 pounds a week I was losing. So that was done through a combination of 5 days a day at the gym, and that kind of under eating and feeling a little bit hungry all the time, and just learning to cope with it and to deal with it. And at that point, I was so committed that it's very surprising how fast those 5 months flew by, and the weight just dropped off to the point where it was really crazy. People were telling me like how big of a change I was able to make, because people around me saw it, friends saw it, people at college saw it. My parents and my family saw it, and it was a really big drastic change. In fact, one interesting point that totally threw me off guard that I wasn't expecting at all was how people around me would react to the weight loss. Biggest challenge was that at that point I was living away from my parents. My parents were living in another state. I was in California, they were in Texas, and so they didn't really see me for a long time. And then what happened was that I lost all this weight. And they knew me their whole life as this overweight, as this overweight kid, and overweight adult in college. And then what happened was, when they saw me when I was thin, they were literally shocked, like so shocked that they couldn't believe it. In fact, they really, I thought that they would congratulate me for the achievements that I made. In fact, it was the opposite. Like, they started telling me that I need to put the weight back on, that I was too thin, that I was too skinny, when in fact I was, at that point, I was still not at my ideal body weight. Right now I'm about 175, and there I was maybe like 180 or something like that. So it was perfectly healthy weight, but they really started fearing that I was anorexic, or that I was dropping the weight too fast, or really that I'm just too skinny. Like, they would tell me, "Oh, you're all skin and bones. You're all skin and bones. You need to put some fat on the body." Well, one thing that I really realized was that a big factor that contributed to my overall weight gain was the environment that I was in. The fact is that I grew up in a household where food was always was always eaten in massive quantities, and there's no sense of holding yourself back. There was no real value placed on fitness. There was no value placed on eating healthy foods. There was no value placed on moderation of food. So we would always have huge portions, always seconds, always desserts, always this, always that, and always this attitude that that was totally normal and totally fine. So part of the challenge when you're making big changes in your life. And this relates to weight loss or really any other aspect. Maybe if you're starting a business or if you're planning to change your relationship up or any kind of improvement that you're making in yourself, is that if it's drastic enough improvement, very counterintuitively and it's almost scary that the friends and people that you hang out with, your family, a lot of times will start to hold you back from making those changes. And there are various theories on this. One of the theories that has been said a lot is that literally they do it because they lose the ability to manipulate and control you. And that's kind of dark and Machiavellian to say that the people are out there controlling you. But the fact is that people do fall into habits. They have certain habits of how they see you. They put a certain projection of an image on you. There's certain ways that you act around your friends, different than how you act around your family, different than how you act around your coworkers or your boss. And so all these people have certain expectations of you that you've set up. And when you try to set yourself on a different path, you start challenging a lot of those expectations, and all of a sudden, several things happen. One is that you might make those other people in your life insecure about what they're doing. So if you lost a lot of weight and you have friends that are fat, overweight, or fat, then what's going to happen is that they're going to start to be either jealous of you or resentful of you because you've been able to make that change and they haven't. And it reflects very poorly on them that they haven't been able to make that change. Because when you're in that kind of state and you see someone that has become thin, then it's kind of like, oh shit, I should be stepping up. Why am I not doing that? But the fact is that for those people, because they're not motivated intrinsically to do it, it really rubs their ego the wrong way. So their ego gets in the way, and their ego says to them that this guy is the enemy, that this change is too weird. We don't like this new change. We don't like this new you. We don't like that you're thin anymore. We don't like that you're smarter now. We don't like that you're in this new relationship. We don't like that you started a business for XYZ reasons. And a lot of that is because those people are used to a certain expectation from you, and maybe you start acting differently in front of them. Maybe now you're not as keen on going out and drinking with them. You're not as keen on going out and splitting a dessert or getting fast food. And obviously that starts to change the dynamics of the relationship, and that's not something that they might be very comfortable with. Not to mention that you're telling their ego to step up, and a lot of times their ego wants to protect itself and do nothing, basically, is to stay in that steady state. And it's hard to deceive yourself when you're trying to do that. It's literally like an ostrich sticking its head in the ground. So a lot of times people around you will be ostriches with their head in the sand, and when they see you making changes, that's like taking their head out of the sand and making them look around and seeing what's really out there and what's really possible for themselves. And if they're so caught up in their own shit, then they're gonna want to put their head back in the sand, and they'll resent you from pulling their head out. So it's a very interesting phenomenon. That's a lot of times why sometimes really to make the biggest changes that you make, the best way to do it is to do something very drastic, like actually start changing your friends, start changing the relationship and the dynamics you have with your family, because a lot of times that can really hold you back from making progress. Figuring out new ways to interact with friends and family. Sometimes your friends, you literally need to outgrow your friends and get totally new friends, or your friends just keep dragging you back in. It's that analogy of those crabs where you stick a bunch of crabs in a bucket. And if the crabs worked together, or if one of the crabs tries to crawl out, he can actually do it. He can actually scurry up the side and crawl out. But what happens is, just as he's trying to do that, one of the other crabs in the bucket grabs him by the leg and pulls him back down, just because instinctively that's what they're doing. And so that crabs in the bucket analogy is it's crazy how and kind of freaky that that actually would happen with humans and with your friends and the people that you think care for you the most. But when you start making these big changes, you find that that's very, very true. It's a very real phenomenon. So that is my story of how I lost 65 pounds in 5 months and have been able to keep it off for 8 years. I think there's a lot more that I could say about this. They'll probably do another video blogs. One thing that I want to conclude with is that when I started, really, it was very, very much about willpower. And what I really learned from this whole experience was that, first of all, you need to connect with your motivation. If you're not connected with your motivation, nothing else will happen. But even then, the importance of willpower and to be able to power through challenges and to be very persistent and very disciplined is so important to being able to make big changes. But the other thing that I learned is that, like at this point, the kind of willpower I had to exert to lose that weight is not the kind of willpower I now need to maintain it. So at this point, so many of my beliefs and mindsets have permanently shifted. That now, if I, for example, stop going to the gym, I'm not perfect about going to the gym. I still go about 5 times a week on average. Lately, I've been skipping a few days here and there, and that's something I wanna correct again in myself. But what I'm really doing now is that if, for example, I don't go to the gym for a whole week, if I even miss a 2 weeks of gym, my body starts to naturally feel this urge to go and exercise. Which is not to say that I can't totally fall out of the habit. I have to be vigilant all the time. I'm still staying true to that promise to myself that I would be going to the gym for the rest of my life. That's exactly how I see it. So there's no one thing that I just do here and then I have it for the rest of my life. It's not like I've gone to the gym for a few years and then that's good. Now I'm going to the gym forever. And same thing with diet. My diet, my tastes for what I put in my body have drastically evolved since then. I've done paleo, really cut out a lot of carbs, cut out a lot of sugars. There's still more work that I'm trying to do on that front, but it's certainly improved a lot. I've really cut out even sugar substitutes. I used to rely a lot on Splenda and iced tea. At this point, I mostly drink water, sometimes some fruit juice. No soft drinks. Desserts, I try to really stay away from any sort of desserts. I try to stay away from any sort of breads. I haven't eaten bread in months. So I've done months where I haven't eaten any bread, any grains. And that has been really good for my energy. Just besides looking good, there's also energy and also my long-term health. So what has happened is that once I started looking good, that was my prime motivation. I just got thin and fit. Once I got that, then I started to get into building muscle. I did a lot of study on how to do proper weightlifting techniques, that kind of stuff, like squats and deadlifts. Really got into that for a while. Also got involved with nutrition, so started looking at paleo, started looking at healthy ways to eat, and I really started to think about not just getting fit for looks, but getting fit for energy. And getting fit for performance, so that I'm able to perform better at work, I'm able to perform better in bed, all this kind of stuff. So I'm able to live longer, I'm less likely to develop cancer and diabetes and all these other nasty diseases that will potentially develop if you don't really take care of your body.